We found out about Mike's severely low sperm count when I was in naturopathic medical school. It was probably one of the worst days of my life. After 6 years of trying, we figured out that IVF was probably going to be our only option. I wanted to task Mike with the activity of writing down what he would have wished that he would have known at the beginning of our infertility journey.
Sex lubricants can damage sperm, so they can actually prevent you from getting pregnant.
Especially if you get them at intimacy store. A lot of them have flavors and fillers, all of these things that are really not good for the sperm and also not good for the female partner either. I see a lot of high levels of atrazine in my male patients in the fertility space. Atrazine is used a lot in the US. It's actually banned in Europe. It has been found to medically castrate frogs. So it's no question why men's fertility is suffering so much.
You can see sperm at home on a cheap microscope. And if you just want to check in and see what's going on, that's a really cost-effective way of doing it.
If they're swimming in circles and doing like twitches, like, oh, oh, like that is not a good sign. We have like super children. I do believe that there's some piece to the fact that because of all the things that we did to optimize your health, you were super healthy and our children would not be obviously who they are, but not as healthy maybe.
If your heart aches for a baby, whether you want a baby someday or you've already been on the journey and it hasn't been as easy as you had hoped, I want you to know that you don't have to do it alone. I created Womanhood Wellness for women just like you. Inside of this amazing membership, you have step-by-step doctor-designed blueprints unique to your womanhood type based on the season that you're in. You have access to order your own labs. You have over 22 amazing courses and growing that I have created for you, all about breaking up with birth control, balancing your hormones, preparing your body for pregnancy, optimizing your fertility, and navigating the root causes of infertility. I have support for pregnancy loss, for navigating integrative IVF, for supporting your partner throughout this process, as well as information about libido, which is one of my favorite things to teach about, because when it comes to womanhood, it's all connected. On top of the amazing content and resources, such as being able to order your own supplements and the protocols that I have, all of the step-by-step checklists of exactly what to do within each lesson in a basic, intermediate, and advanced path, I also have amazing support inside of the membership. Every month you get a live Q&A with me. I have monthly masterclasses taught by me and other amazing practitioners. And bi-weekly, we have connection calls where you get to really connect with women and share and feel seen. We have seasonal circles that are unique to the different seasons of womanhood. For example, if you are breaking up with birth control or you're struggling with libido or you are trying to conceive, maybe you're going through IVF or you've had a pregnancy loss, all of these different scenarios require different support. And so these circles put you together with women just like you so that you can really connect and make long-lasting friendships. You'll finally understand your cycle, your labs, your body, your fertility, and you'll feel empowered in your womanhood journey. So if this sounds exciting to you, I encourage you to go to womanhoodwellness.com and use code PODCAST to sign up and save 20% on your first month. Again, head to womanhoodwellness.com and use code PODCAST to save 20%. I can't wait to see you inside. Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I'm your co-host, Dr. Leah Gordon, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Morgan and I share the natural women's health and motherhood support you've been looking for from a fresh, functional, and balanced lens. In today's episode, I actually have the pleasure of interviewing my husband, Mike. We went through a very long and complicated infertility journey that ended up in IVF due to severe male factor infertility. And I tasked him with the job of coming up with tips that he wishes that he would have known before our infertility journey or during our infertility journey, all the way up through IVF. And he actually wrote down many of them. So we're going to rapid fire go through them. And I have my own little two cents to say about each of them. And I think that they are pretty golden. So without further ado, let's hear from Mike. Today, we have a very special guest on the podcast, my husband, Mike Gordon. And we are going to be talking about things that he wished he would have known before we did IVF for our fertility situation to have our children. And just to give a little background for people who don't know our story, we found out about Mike's severely low sperm count when I was in naturopathic medical school. I was 2 years into the 4-year program, looking at his sperm under a microscope.
We had a sperm analysis class and we needed a sample. We weren't even trying to conceive at that point. And it didn't go well. It was probably one of the worst days of my life. What was that like for you when I came and told you about the sperm?
It was concerning, but at the same time, I was doing sauna like crazy. So I was saunaing 2 hours a day in a traditional sauna. And so when you told me that there was nothing in the sample, I was thinking to myself, well, it's probably just because I've been sauning so much, but if I stop sauning, it'll come back.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Well, and I know more now than I did then, where the level of severity of your count was beyond what lifestyle would have ever done, but we didn't know that at the time. So basically, we started investigating what was going on and trying to support him. He had two bilateral varicoceles, or a bilateral varicocele, so basically swollen veins in the testicles on both sides. We found out that you had a lot of high toxins, and the story is very long, and we go into it on another episode of the podcast. But essentially, eventually, after 6 years of trying, we figured out that IVF was probably going to be our only option. And we still didn't know if you had any sperm at all, right?
Yeah, no, it was zero. It started at zero and just maintained zero.
But it wasn't zero. There were some, but they were all
the sperm count. Viable. So the number on the sperm analysis said zero motile sperm. So there was, yeah, there was like one floating around every once in a while, like by itself, and it wasn't moving. It was, there was nothing there.
The count was between like 1 in 5,000, which sounds like a lot, but it's nothing, and none of them are viable. So some men have like zero sperm, like the count is zero, but yours was severe oligospermia. Anyways, when we decided to finally go down the path of IVF, we did genetic carrier testing and found some potential genetic issues that might have been why you have this no sperm situation. And so again, that's a whole conversation for another day, but I wanted to task Mike with the activity or task of writing down what he wanted to share as what he would have wished that he would have known at the beginning of our infertility journey, or even way farther back as a young adult man or a boy, like any, I don't know, anytime I think men should know about this. So he's going to share rapid fire sort of what he wished he would have learned, and I'll come in and pitch in my two cents every once in a while. But I think there's a lot of wisdom that you have to share here.
So, yeah, prepare yourselves. I have a list of 22 bullet points.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with the most challenging one for men. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with mindset and emotional foundation.
Woohoo!
So one thing that I think is incredibly important for anybody going through infertility is to have a positive mindset. So one of the things that I really try to do, it's incredibly hard to maintain, but I always work on it, is to have the mindset that the world is rigged in my favor. So when I wake up in the morning, everything that happens that day is rigged in my favor. So if it's good or if it's bad or neutral, I try to see the world as rigged in my favor. And if you're going through infertility, things like losing embryos during IVF or, you know, a pregnancy loss, all those things, if you have that mindset, it just makes it a little bit easier to deal with.
Do you want to tell the farmer parable as to where that came from, or?
No. Well, I feel like you might be better at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just for people who are like, what are you talking about? What do you mean this is rigged in my favor? It's basically saying, instead of attaching good or bad to events, really seeing them as neutral and all part of like a divine plan in a way. So depending on your spiritual belief or whatever, but this kind of comes from a parable about a farmer and his son. And basically, the son came to him. I'll probably butcher it, but I can do it.
Yeah, I'd butcher it worse. So that's why I'm not saying
such a way. So basically, the son came to him and he said, "Dad, I just found a bunch of wild horses." And the dad and all of the family and friends in the neighborhood and village said, "Oh my gosh, that's so great. Like, look at this great thing. We've attached this, you know, parameter to you've just found a bunch of wild horses." I might have skipped one, but anyways, let's go with it. And so everyone said, oh, wow, that's so great. And the farmer, the wise old farmer, said, maybe. Everything's maybe. So the son brings in all these wild horses and he decides to try to train one of them. So he's learning to ride it and break it in, and the horse bucks him off and he breaks his leg. And so all of the people in the village come together and say, oh, that's so terrible. That's so horrible. This horrible thing that just happened. And the wise farmer said, maybe. And then the army comes by a week later to draft all of the young men into the army for the war that they're fighting. And because the man had just broken his leg, he wasn't drafted into this war that would have probably been a death sentence. And so all of the villagers come around and they said, oh, this is so great. Look how wonderful this is. And the farmer just said, maybe. And essentially this goes on in the sense that you think something bad, like breaking your leg, this is so terrible, or, you know, having infertility, this is so terrible. And you can really wallow in that victim mindset. But if you can see the world is rigged in your favor, no matter what happens, quote unquote, good or bad, as everything is just happening for you, for your soul, for your journey, how can you maybe shift your mindset? And that's been huge for us along our journey. We've been through a lot and that's a big one. So thanks for that.
Bullet point number two.
Mike is masculine energy. I am feminine energy. So he's to the point and I'm like, let's swirl.
I'm going to come up with a guy's version of this podcast where it's just like, I just read the list. So the next one is learning when to fight and when to surrender and just trust in a higher power. Going through infertility, you can't just surrender. You have to work. You have to take tests. You have to go do the stuff. You have to do surgeries if needed. I mean, it's, you have to fight for it. And when it's in your control, it's okay to fight for it and move the ball. But at some point, you do have to surrender and trust. And those points, knowing when to fight and when to surrender, for example, fight to get to the point where, you know, if you're going down the IVF route, not everybody needs it, but if you do go down the IVF route, once you've taken the eggs and the sperm, and it's in the embryologist's hands and it's in the doctor's hands, that's out of your control. That's when you surrender. That's a great example of when to surrender, which brings me to my third bullet point. Focus on what you can control, and only really on what you can control. It's wasted energy to focus on what you can't control. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've learned through different teachers over the last, you know, decade or so, is learning how to tap into the power of manifestation, which is just mindset. Manifestation is mindset. Peter Sage is a great example of a mentor in that space that would be worth looking into. He has, I believe, Peter Sage Academy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So great resource for anybody that wants to learn power of manifestation.
Yeah.
Bullet point number four, don't be afraid of testing. So I think especially for men, we often go down the mindset of not wanting to know and just hoping and just mm-hmm. being like, it'll work out. I don't really want to take that test, or I don't want to spend money on that test. But if you're going to go through this journey, just bite the bullet, do the testing that you need to do. Data is power.
Yeah, this is a big one. And I do see this a lot with my male patients not wanting to know or assuming that they're fine. You know, maybe a female comes in and they're struggling with fertility and maybe she has some obvious things like PCOS or something like that. And so I ask about the male partner and she says, well, he doesn't want to test. He thinks he's fine without ever testing. That's ego. Stop it.
I didn't want to test it. I mean, you tricked me into testing by making me donate for your med school.
That's true.
I didn't know that that was a test.
It wasn't a trick. You were very willing.
That's true. All right. Bullet point number five. Don't be afraid of judgment from family, friends, community. If you have to go down the routes to work on fertility, and if you're, especially if you're going down the route of IVF, it's incredibly controversial. And people who have never experienced it or have a close person, relative that has gone through it, they don't quite get it. And it's very easy. I remember when I was a teenager, I thought IVF was, you know, dangerous. I thought that, you know, this is a way you're bypassing nature. Mm-hmm. And so until I had a problem personally, I wasn't the biggest fan of IVF. I thought it was overused.
I mean, and it still is. And for anyone listening, IVF isn't always the route and shouldn't be the first line of fertility treatment, which is often what's done in the conventional space. There's so much that you can do where you don't need IVF. You know, we have a very unique experience with IVF because I'm a naturopathic doctor. I work in fertility. I help people not need IVF. And then also, if people do need it, like in our situation, I help them make it as optimal as possible so that they can have the family of their dreams. And so we're neither pro nor anti. We're just like, this is a tool. And when it's appropriate, let's use it. Let's not overuse it. And let's not never use it. It's a tool. But yeah, there's a lot of judgment. And so just don't let that get you down.
No, we're entering sub bullets. remember that.
I'm an engineer.
This sub bullet for 5A.
Yeah.
This is your journey. Don't focus on what other people think about your journey. So this is your movie. It's wasted energy to think about what other people think. Mm-hmm. If you have to go down the invasive routes and surgery and IVF, try to find a way to be excited about it. Be excited about the fact that it is an option, that you live in today's, you know, society where you have those tools. And if you can shift your mindset to, wow, I'm really excited that I can do this, that these options are available. And you tell people, you know, hey, I'm really stoked that we're going to go through egg retrieval. So we have that and we can, you know, we could do all these things. It will shift everything.
Yeah.
And your people and the people that you talk to will pick up on that and they'll see your excitement. And they're, if you approach it with, I'm afraid or ashamed, they're going to have a different energy towards you going through that process than if you say, you know what, I'm really excited about doing this. And the last one, it's more about IVF. If you get there, just shifting your mindset around it. Try to keep it positive.
Yeah, being grateful for it. I have a lot of patients who are very health-minded and health-conscious, which is beautiful and amazing. And sometimes, because of certain circumstances, like in ours, IVF is what's needed. And they have so much shame and guilt. And there's just so much inner turmoil through the process. And that's not something you want. So just like the surrender you mentioned, once you've done all the work and you've tried all the things and you've gone down all the natural functional medicine stuff and it's still not working, that's the moment of surrender and then acceptance and also shifting into gratitude that, wow, how amazing that we have this tool so that I can still become a parent, even if it's not the way I imagined. That's beautiful. Good job. All right.
All right. Moving on to environment and everyday exposures.
Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? This is why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight by Redmond's, the real salt people. A USA-made electrolyte powder with unrefined sea salt, over 60 trace minerals, plus bioavailable forms of potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. These minerals support hormones, hydration, energy, and overall health. The best part is they taste delicious. I'm really picky about how things taste, and so you can rest assured this is Dr. Leah approved. I love lemon lime, but I know Dr. Morgan is a strawberry lemonade gal. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off your order of electrolytes, real sea salt, natural toothpaste, and so much more. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Happy hydrating on your womanhood and fertility journey.
Since Leah was in medical school when we found out about this, I had already incorporated much of this into my life. However, I wish I knew early, like, you know, middle school, high school, about the dangers of the products that I was using. So deodorant with aluminum and chemicals and fragrance, basically fragrance and perfume out of everything. Mm-hmm. Same thing, but yeah, out of everything. So deodorant, laundry. So we shifted everything to unscented. For free and clear soaps, fabric softener. We don't use fabric softener, but we wouldn't even use dryer sheets. We use wool balls. Whatever. Laundry, clean up laundry. getting rid of fragrance from body wash, toothpaste that's clean, dish soap, no scented dish soap, all unscented.
Yeah.
I haven't worn cologne in 15 years, but don't wear cologne if you can avoid it. And even things like lotion, just clean products all around.
Yeah, because these often contain chemicals like phthalates and other things that drop men's testosterone. So no one wants that. Testosterone is what makes men feel energized, alive, driven, have a sex drive, and also make sperm. So testosterone is very important, and phthalates found in these products often do that. And then it can affect fertility as well as your future babies. So obviously men aren't carrying the babies, but let's say you're pregnant. Finally, you get pregnant and your husband's using cologne all the time and Axe body spray and Axe soap and all of the Axes. I hate the Axes. It's going to affect the development of the baby that's in your womb. So we just want to clean that up early on. And as teenagers, if you have teenagers or young kids, boys, telling them this now, if they ever want to, you know, be healthy in their life.
Yeah. All right. Next is recognizing the quality of your air, food, and water. So we brought in, high quality air purifier. We brought in Austin Airs into our bedroom where we sleep. Just make sure that we're not exposed to stuff at night. Off-gassing of new floors, paint, you name it. Just cleaning up mold spores, all of that. Making sure you can eat organic when possible. And having clean water. So clean water, what I mean by that is having good filtration that actually does do a good job. One of the things that I'm going to go into the benefits of saunaing and detox. One of the things that comes to water is I found personally that if I just drink RO water, I have electrolyte imbalances. So I have to, if I use my RO system for clean water, I have to add electrolytes, minerals, in order to be able to detox the way I do.
And for anyone who doesn't know, RO stands for reverse osmosis. It's a way of filtering the water that removes all the particles, which is good for toxins, but it also takes the minerals out. And so we want minerals in our water. Otherwise, it pulls minerals out of our body. So water, I don't have to get into the science of it, but my feminine self just wants to teach it all. Anyways, if you drink reverse osmosis water without minerals, it can actually pull the minerals and dehydrate you. So you need to add those back, and that's really important. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's what we mean by filtering clean water. Obviously, people in the U.S. would be like, we have clean water. There's not parasites and bacteria in our water. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about toxins, that tap water in most places is not safe to drink without an additional filter in your house or your kitchen.
All right. Next is eliminating toxic mold from your environment. So when I was growing up, mold, like black mold, I grew up in Florida, in the shower, whatever, I was kind of convinced that that was just an aesthetic problem, that it just didn't look good, and so you just bleach it. I didn't know that the mold, toxic mold, can affect your fertility. Mm-hmm. And affect you, not just your fertility, it affect your whole body, your brain, nervous system, everything. So, any comments on mold?
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand mold. There are many people that are like, I don't believe in mold. And that's fine if you don't believe in it. That's like saying I don't believe in trees, but they exist. So I don't care if you believe in them or not. Mold exists. A lot of it is toxic. Not all mold is toxic, but toxic mold creates mycotoxins that absolutely damage all sorts of things with health. Fertility, absolutely one of them. Brain development and our kiddos. And what they're finding now, you know, if you're the person who doesn't believe in mold and doesn't believe in Wi-Fi and EMFs, I hate to break it to you because they exist. And we're finding that with all of the Wi-Fi routers, 5G towers, all of the things around us, it seems to be making mold grow more and be more resilient and a bigger problem than it's ever been before. It's something about the frequency of EMF. If you don't believe in it and you use the internet, then you don't know what you're talking about because there are frequencies that make it possible for you to be on the internet without a cord attached to your computer. That is a frequency, a electromagnetic frequency. That's what EMF stands for. And so that frequency seems to stimulate mold. And so a lot of people are asking why mold seems to be such a big problem lately. And I think one of the theories that they're looking into is that. So even if you're like, well, my grandma grew up with mold and she had 10 kids and blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, we live in a different world. So.
That's that. And if, you know, mold is one of the worst. If somebody tells you that you have a mold problem in your house, that's horrible news because you basically, it's hard to remediate. You almost have to move. If you can financially move, that's the best thing. Mm-hmm. If you can't move, you have to figure out ways around it. But if you're going through infertility, mold is big. Mm-hmm. All right. Next one is quick. Don't keep your phone in your front pocket. And if you do, put in airplane mode. Airplane mode for me personally is hard, you know, especially when, you know, I have kids and I have, you know, a business. I can't necessarily just turn the world off. So what I do is if I have to have it in my pocket, I put it in my back pocket, even though that has other issues. but I'll often put in a backpack and a bag. If it's in the car, it's just, you know, a far away from me. But definitely just not next to your reproductive organs.
And this is because EMFs from your phone, the same reason you can get internet on your phone is because there are EMFs coming from it. And they have been shown in studies that it negatively breaks down DNA. DNA is what makes up the sperm. It's also what makes up our cells. It's why EMF and toxins are also implicated in cancer and why glioblastomas, which is a tumor of the brain, is so high in high cell phone users, right at the area that you put the phone next to your ear, because EMF breaks down DNA. And so that is why we don't want to put a cell phone in our front pocket and why we want to keep it away from us. And the thing about EMF is it's all about distance. So if you get an EMF reader in my membership, Womanhood Wellness, when I teach about how to reduce toxins, I have a whole section on EMF, and Mike actually has a video, and he teaches you how to use an EMF reader. You can buy this on Amazon, whatever. It will measure the frequency of things, and you can see how much electromagnetic frequency is coming off of your device, and you can see as you move farther away from it that it gets less and less. So it's not like the same amplitude or whatever is everywhere around you. It's really about distance. So if you can just even put your phone on the desk, you know, 2 feet away from you, that's better than having it in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Look at this efficient masculine. Right.
Biological optimization. So I wish that I had known about supplements, specifically higher quality supplements, back when I was younger. Right now, I was taking a lot more when I was doing detox, but right now in my life, I just take, you know, a high quality multi, an antioxidant blend, fish oil, CoQ10, and fiber. Those keep me good, and it's important that they're high quality and they have the right forms of the vitamins so that you can actually detox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I have a lot to say about supplements. Again, inside of my membership, I teach all about this for men's fertility, but one of my favorite lines is actually Needed. They're a sponsor of our show. Mm-hmm. And I love them because I help design all their products. And so their men's fertility line, they have a men's multi that has all the multivitamins and minerals that you need. Their CoQ10 and their Sperm Support Plus contains the herbs and antioxidants that are supporting for sperm health, as well as the probiotics that are supportive for body health and sperm health. So those three together, that combo, is a wonderful fertility trio to be on. It's one of my favorite that I recommend, and absolutely something that you can take even if you're not actively trying to conceive, because it improves your hormones in general and your health and all of that. And who doesn't want to feel good, right? But especially if you want to conceive the 3 months before you start trying, or as soon as you are able. You know, some people have been trying for a long time, because it takes sperm about 72 days or 3 months, 72 to 90 days to be made. So if you start a supplement routine, it's going to show up in the sperm about 3 months later. So you want to get on these things as soon as possible. And that's one of my favorite ones. If you guys want to order, you actually can save 20% if you use the code HEALTHYMOTHER. So if you go to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER, you can save 20% on your first order. If you guys want to try out Needed for yourself, get the male fertility bundle, but also you as a female, if you're listening to this, have a lot of amazing support for you as well.
Next one is learning how and when to use binders, so heavy metal binders and toxin binders. There are some that I, you know, you can use all the time, like, you know, drinking Corella. It's a great clean Corella. That's a great binder to absorb toxins. But if you are having infertility or poor sperm quality due to heavy metals, getting rid of those from the body is important. So learning when you should use binders.
When you're trying to get toxins out of your body, so one way is to reduce the exposure in the first place. That's what we were talking about with the products and the air and the water. When you're trying to get toxins out of your body, there are herbs and different things that you can take to remove them, but you don't want to stir them up too much and not bind them. So binders bind into toxins. They basically attach to them and help get them out of your body. So that's a really important thing. And you did a lot of that, because we found that you had a high toxic load from your work as a nuclear engineer in manufacturing. You had a lot of plastics, a lot of heavy metals. He had mercury fillings, so metal fillings in his mouth, which all have been shown to negatively impact sperm. And we did a lot of detox for you, so.
Yeah, I also used to spray herbicides.
Yeah.
In high school.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Just throw it in there.
When I was in detox mode, so if you find yourself wanting to do detox in the sauna under medical supervision, I recommend you should consider taking chelators. I was doing two kinds. I was taking very gentle chelators myself, which is like parsley and cilantro. Yeah, parsley and cilantro. I was just eating them in the sauna.
Chlorella is another good one.
That was in my binder. Chlorella was my binder. Mm-hmm. But cilantro and parsley, pretty sure those were my two chelators. And I would just eat them like a goat in the sauna. And then I'd sweat in there for like 2 hours, and then I'd take electrolytes the whole time and replenish. Mm-hmm. So
2 hours is a lot. I wouldn't recommend that for most people. You're a very unique person mm-hmm. who can handle a lot of fluid loss and a lot of heat.
There's also drinking a ton. And
yeah, so that's not necessarily what everyone should do. And this is not medical advice. Always speak to your doctor or your healthcare practitioner, but this is just what Mike's experience.
And yeah, one caveat, when I was doing the 2 hours, I was doing cold showers every like 20 minutes. I'd go out, do a cold shower, and come back. So.
And just so people know, heat will negatively impact sperm. So there is a time in the fertility journey, if you feel that toxins are a part of your story, which they are in most people's case, and you need to detox and do sauna and chelators and get the heavy metals and all of the toxins out, it's typically not the time that you want to be trying to conceive. And you probably want to give yourself at least, again, 72 to 90 days after before you start trying, because the heat alone from the sauna can negatively impact the sperm, and you don't want that. Just like toxins and EMFs break down DNA, so does heat, especially with sperm.
All right, moving on to data. So like I said earlier, don't fear testing. Testing gives you information, and you can test genetic issues, which I have a recessive issue that is probably causing my issue. So you can test your genes, you can test for heavy metals, herbicides, pesticides, plastics, mold. You can test for all of that. And the more you know about your picture, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are afraid of testing either from a cost perspective or just they don't want to know. But I really feel that testing is empowering, especially if it's going to change the way that you treat. And in my experience, treating lots and lots of people, I find that men do better with data. They tend to do better when they can see in front of them, oh, this is in my body. I see this high level of pesticide or herbicide versus just being told by their wife, stop using that perfume or that cologne or, you know, that deodorant. They're like, hey, whatever, it doesn't bother me. But then if they actually see in their body, oh, this is really high, or atrazine is a post I just did on my Instagram recently, is a very common pesticide or herbicide, I can't remember which one, that is used a lot in the U.S. It's actually banned in Europe. And it has been found to medically castrate frogs, like to the point where they are females, they're no longer males, just by being exposed to atrazine. I see a lot of high levels of atrazine in my male patients in the fertility space. And so it's no question why men's fertility is suffering so much. I mean, we're being inundated with these toxins everywhere. So one way to support being exposed is having that good water filtration, but also testing to see if that's a part of your picture and that you might need to be a little bit more aggressive with detox and getting it out of your body, or it might justify a more thorough water filtration system for your home or being just more diligent. So the testing can be really empowering, especially for men, I found.
To clarify something I said earlier, some things won't naturally detox and they get stored in our bodies. That's why you take chelators to stir them up.
Yeah, like heavy metals, things like lead and things can be stored in the bone and tissue. And so the chelators pull them out. There are natural chelators, like you mentioned. There's also medical chelators, but you would only ever do that with a doctor who knows exactly what they're doing, because you have to pull toxins and metals out in a very specific way and support the body so that you don't reabsorb those or cause more problems. So that's something that is absolutely only done with someone who understands detox very well.
And I forgot, I take glutathione.
Oh, yeah. Glutathione is so big. That's such an important supplement. So this is our major antioxidant. It allows us to detox. Many people are very deficient in it. And if you don't have enough glutathione, then a lot of the toxins and things that we're exposed to in our body will cause more damage. So glutathione is sort of your superhero, if you want to think of it like that, your little Batman that's fighting crime on your behalf. I can't help it. I have to have analogies.
All right. Next is, you already mentioned saunas, but avoid hot tubs when trying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next is, so we were in the infertility journey for 6 years. So we were doing a lot. I did IV chelation, sauna. I did bilateral varicocelectomy. I did a lot of things. And we were working on my gut. We were working on things left and right. And every time we wanted to find out how I was doing, I'd have to go and spend cash to get a sperm analysis. But I went on Amazon and bought a $40 microscope so I could do sperm analysis at home. And if you feel scientific, that's a really good option because I forget the magnification. You can Google the magnification that you need to see sperm, but you can do sampling at home and you don't have to be a genius and you don't have to go to medical school to see trends. So you can see sperm at home on a cheap microscope. And if you just want to like check in and see what's going on, that's a really effective and cost-effective way of doing it.
I will have a caveat that when people do sperm analyses, they're not just looking at a single field of view on a microscope. There are a lot of other things that are done to find the concentration and the count. And so you can't adequately see the sperm count. You know, you're maybe not trained to understand motility, but what you can see, if you look at a sample of sperm on a microscope, the sperm are supposed to be swimming straight, first of all. If they're swimming in circles and doing like twitches, like that is not a good sign. That means that they have poor motility. And then if they look funny, like they have two heads, their tails are funny, the tails look like a corkscrew, all of these different things, that's poor morphology, what they look like. You're obviously not going to be trained to understand, you know, exactly what you're looking at. And it's not a replacement for a sperm analysis. But like Mike said, if you're an intuitive or an inquisitive and scientific-minded person like Mike, it is really fun because you can see, oh, wow, like there's a lot more sperm in this field of view than there was last time, or maybe the sperm is swimming better or looks better. So it's a fun thing to do. It's not a replacement for one, but yeah.
I didn't say it was a replacement. I just say, if you want to save money and also, you know, play an active role.
Yeah.
It's inexpensive.
You could do like role play. I'm the scientist and you're the...
I'm not going to go there with you. Bringing up the next bullet point.
It's fitting.
I wish I would have known that lubricants in the bedroom, not WD-40, sex lubricants can damage sperm. So they can actually prevent you from getting pregnant. And so I feel like they should tell people that are trying to have babies that some lubes, like if you go to Walgreens and you buy one off the shelf, they're probably not helping your cause from toxicity and pH and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, especially if you get them at like a intimacy store. A lot of them have flavors and fillers and warming agents and all of these things that are really not good for the sperm and also not good for the female partner either. So sperm like to be alkaline. pH is the measure of acidity and alkalinity. So something acidic would be like lemon juice and something alkaline would be like baking powder. And so sperm do not like to be acidic. They die in acid, essentially. And a woman's vagina does not like to be alkaline. It's acidic. How funny is that? And so there is this mismatch. And so lube in general can disrupt both partners. If it is kind of just toxic, there's toxins that the body can absorb. It can kill sperm. There can be sugars in there that actually make yeast and other things happen. But the pH of the lube will matter. So ironically, for fertility, you actually need higher pH, more alkaline lube, because that protects the sperm. Outside of fertility, you actually want more acidic lube to protect the female's microbiome. So it is a little tricky, but for fertility specifically, around ovulation, like you could use a more acidic lube outside of ovulation, but around ovulation, when you are actively trying to conceive and you want that sperm to be alive, you definitely want to pick a higher pH lube, and you always want a lube that is free of sugars and other toxins. I have a whole list. Again, I teach all of this inside of my membership. But some of my favorite brands are Good Clean Love. They're a good one. Coco New Water. They have a water or oil-based one. Ah Yes is another option. And so, yeah, that's a really important thing that people need to know about. Oh, also Baby Dance is one that's pH-friendly, but I think I like Good Clean Love better.
I'm just surprised that that's not something that they, like, tell us in school.
They put women on birth control when they have, like, acne and period problems.
These are things we should know.
Yeah. Tell me about it. This is what's wrong with everything. Everything is backwards.
All right. So now we're getting into IVF and partner support. So this is huge, by the way. We did not do this and we wish we did. Get health insurance that covers IVF. If you know that you're going to potentially go down that path, get on a plan that covers it before you go down the path and make sure you're outside. If there's any windows where you have to, you know, have the insurance for an amount of time before you do it, like just double check. We had a health share and so they did not cover IVF. And so we paid cash for everything. So that's incredibly financially taxing. Hence the reason why we bought a microscope to do sperm analysis at home.
Yeah, if I could do one thing, I would go back and change that 100%. Even if you have an employer who supplies one insurance that doesn't cover IVF, which is common, look into getting a secondary plan. It will probably end up costing you less in the long run if you have a plan that covers.
It will definitely cost you less in the long run.
Yeah, and then health shares, like any sort of religious health shares, which we had because we're both self-employed, they usually don't cover anything fertility related. So just know that.
Yeah, we're pretty sure we paid cash for both of my surgeries and yours. Oh, you paid cash for everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fun. Don't do that.
Nope.
Okay, next. This is huge. This is a big one. Understanding the difference between ejaculated sperm and immature sperm harvested from the testicle when you're going through IVF, especially if you have to do ICSI. If you have to do ICSI, knowing that difference and knowing what your options are is important. A little bit of background on mine, they had some sperm from my sample, the ejaculate sample, that they could have used for ICSI. So that, you know, basically taking the sperm and injecting it into the egg directly. However, I was presented an option from my urologist where they would go in to my testicles, take one of them out, cut it in half, and kind of like scoop out like an avocado tissue, and then send that tissue directly to the lab. And then they would go through that tissue. And those sperm are not mature. They don't swim, but they're genetically intact. They haven't been exposed to the damage in the body. So when Leah went through her egg retrieval, it was like the day after I went through the testicular retrieval, we got a call from the fertility clinic and they said, hey, we're not finding much in this sample of testicular tissue. And we think we might go down the path of just using the ejaculate. So I called my urologist and made sure that we're on the same page. And he says, do not let them use the ejaculate sperm because they're so damaged. They have to use immature sperm. And there was the clinic, the embryologist said, we can't find any. We'll let you know. Like, we hope we find one. They called us later that day. It was hours and hours later. Those embryologists crushed it. They found 14 immature sperm that were genetically intact, like genetically solid. And they made embryos, I think 14 or 21, something like that. It was enough.
Oh, wow. That's more than I thought. I mean, we only have 4 healthy embryos from that. But
right. But they found enough and they used those. And it was those 2 phone calls. They call the urologist and the urologist calling the clinic and saying, use those. And I believe that was the best thing we possibly could have done. Looking at the outcome, looking at our 2 kids, I'm very glad we chose to go that route.
Yeah, and just to give a background, so when sperm are made, they're made in the testicles and they go through all of these different processes and they're immature for a while, like little baby sperm, and then they go and they mature in the epididymis and they sit there for a while and they sit and sit and sit and then they get ejaculated. And by the time a sperm is ejaculated and comes out and you actually see it outside of the male body, it has been sitting in that man's body for almost 3 months. So whatever he's doing, his diet, his lifestyle, his exposures, it's just been sitting there potentially being damaged by those things. So the ejaculated sperm in Mike was not only that way, but also his sperm was just messed up from whatever, like nothing was normal about it.
HIPAA doesn't apply to me.
Yeah, he's fine with it. And so the immature sperm were just like fresh DNA that hadn't been insulted by, you know, the toxins or any of the heat or any of the things that were going on inside of his system. And we really do. I mean, we have like super children. They're like super, super children. And I do believe that there's some piece to the fact that your sperm quality, because of all the things that we did to optimize your health, you were super healthy. But his particular situation, his sperm would have been sitting in potentially a maze. His epididymis probably didn't like have a lot of good juju because you had these varicoceles and then his vas deferens, which is the tube that allows the sperm to leave, probably didn't develop quite normally based on his genetic thing. And so it was just like a big, not good situation for the sperm to sit in. And if they would have used the ejaculated sperm, I don't know if our embryos would have turned out the way that they did. And our children would not be obviously who they are, but not as healthy maybe.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'd also add that the urologist told us that the sperm, the immature sperm are not immature genetically. They're mature. The sperm is complete. The only thing that is immature is the ability to swim and move forward.
But most people are not offered this option unless they have severe low sperm counts. So if you're a person where they're like, no, we have to use the ejaculate, this is where it's very important to do the most that you can to optimize your health as a man so that the sperm that is ejaculated is healthy. And then they hopefully will pick the best ones. Mike's case was very severe. And so if you're someone listening to this who has severe oligospermia, which is severely low sperm count, or severe morphology or motility issues, it might be worth doing. But I mean, a testicular retrieval is no joke. I mean, it's a big thing. So not everybody does that, but that is what our situation was.
So I wish I had known before Leah went through egg retrieval what that process looked like, because she came home with a bunch of meds. We didn't know I didn't know what the meds were. And she's like laying on the couch, injecting her stomach. And I wish I had a little bit of a crash course, like somebody say, hey, dude, she's going to come home with this many needles. This is the process. And I kind of had to support her through that. That would have been good to know before. I was kind of, you know, caught off guard when she went through that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just my last thoughts was, you know, remember every step is data, and even setbacks, it's all data. Stay curious, stay kind to yourself, and keep moving forward. And remember that miracles happen. Our children are miracles. If you look at our journey, and we didn't go through all of it here, they're miracle children, and miracles can happen. So stay positive and keep the faith.
Yeah. And my last remark would be, advice would be find meaning in your journey. This has been what's important for me, that it doesn't just feel random. I don't feel like we're being punished. I don't feel like I did something wrong. That although there are things that we can always improve and be optimizing ourselves, really I see this as we were supposed to become certain people for our children or for the world or for some bigger purpose, that our suffering wasn't just for the sake of suffering, that there was some grander plan or some meaning behind it. And I really feel like it shaped us. We went to the darkest places of our souls. We've done so much therapy and self-development work, and we've connected with each other, and we've improved our health, and we've done so much that we are very different people than we would have been if we didn't have this journey and we didn't have this suffering and these struggles. And so in a way, finding meaning in that for me made it all feel so much more manageable. And it took me a long time to get to that place of acceptance and seeing that. But now that I do, it just, I don't know, it feels like that's a really important piece of it all. And it might not be everybody's journey. Maybe it was just mine. But that's a little tidbit that I have for you.
I had a realization on ayahuasca, believe it or not, that my body is doing the best it possibly can.
Mm.
So that's really, it's very important for me to remember that, especially when I get angry at my body. You know, if I have a moment where I'm frustrated, if I see a lab test, I'm like, what the hell? Remembering that my body is just trying the best it possibly can. It's working with what it's got. And I also don't think of myself as broken. I think of my body as a vehicle that I can move around. It's like machinery. So I'm not embarrassed. When I go to the doctor, it's like going to the mechanic. I don't see this flesh body is just a vehicle for me. And so that's what I'm fine here talking about. I don't care if the world knows I have no sperm. It's just my body. Mm-hmm. So if you can adopt a kind of a similar mindset, it might help you go through infertility challenges.
Yeah, that you're not a failure. It's a reflection of you, that your body is, you know, we're all connected, but that it's separate. Your identity and your worth and your value is not necessarily in.
I see myself as separate than my body. My body's just my machinery. Mm-hmm. So why am I embarrassed? I don't get embarrassed when I take my car to the mechanic. It's the same reason I don't get embarrassed when I take my body to the doctor.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. You're the best. Thanks. All right. Thank you.
Guess what? We have a merch store. We sell amazing things like hats and shirts and sweatshirts, crop sweatshirts, glassware, water bottles, journals, bags, and they're really cool. So you should definitely check that out. Healthy as a Mother, I think, is one of the coolest brands. Healthy as a Mother, blank, we don't really say that, but so good because we love helping women become mothers, helping women who are mothers. And it's really fun to not only have a cool saying on some of your merchandise, but it also helps spread the word so that we can continue to do this amazing work in the world. We absolutely love podcasting and it is so much effort on our part. And so every little bit of your support helps. If you want to check out some amazing merchandise or maybe buy a gift for a friend or a loved one or get something for yourself, head to healthyasamother.com/store. Check it out. Take pictures of your merchandise, tag us on Instagram. We would love to hear feedback on if there's other things that you would like to see in the store because we are doing this for you. So again, head to healthyasamother.com/store to check out that merchandise. And yeah, I hope that you enjoy it. Thank you so much. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.